2004 Labor Day Conference in Cleveland, Ohio, with Brother Titus Chu. The Divine and Mystical Realm in Colossians. Christ, the Person of the Divine Mystical Realm. Message 4.
We come to the fourth meeting, which basically means it's about over. We go through the very hard part, theoretically. In other words, this morning we should finish the very difficult part, but I realize maybe it's just too much. So we stopped and we insert the part of the outline into tonight's message and take away a chunk of hard food. So, because I realized if I would just read it to you, every statement may need 10 minutes to try to make it clear. So we dropped it. Then the last part, we integrated, put it together with tomorrow morning's message. So what you really have missed is one of the key portions concerning the universal cooperation that is mentioned in Galatians. That part, we let it go. If you can find the old outline, you may still can find it, but I can assure you, when you read it, you have no idea what are they. Because you're not supposed to have some ideas. They are spiritual things. Or most of you would have no idea what are they. To follow the Lord is by no means that easy or that simple. Anyway, let's come to the fourth message. What is the message? The new man. That is experience of the new man. In other words, what is a church? A mystery of God is Christ. The mystery of Christ is a church. But the Bible denotes a church as the new man. So the experience in this new man, we have the experience of new man. What is a new man? The circumference of the divine mystical realm. Remember, I drew the picture this morning. Who is this God? This very God is a divine mystical realm. Then what is the church? The church is an enlargement of the divine mystical realm. To what extent? To the extent the enlargement extended to all those regenerated ones. In other words, this very God as a divine mystical realm is enjoyed only by those regenerated ones. Praise the Lord for this. Then what is this new man full of the reality of being raised with Christ? In other words, what is a new man? The resurrected man. Because it is a man in resurrection. Therefore, it is all the time new. You know, this is something very good concerning we Christians. We are professional, sloppy defeaters. Am I right or not? If we never love the Lord, we think we're not that bad. If we begin to love the Lord, we realize we're not that good. When we really love the Lord, we found out we are terrible. And the more you love the Lord, you follow the Lord, you give yourself to the Lord, the more you begin to realize how confined, how limited we are. You know, the interesting part is this. No matter how we are confined, we are limited, we are defeated, no matter how we lose our heart, for some reason, there is an element of resurrection operating within our being. You can't give up. You cannot go away. Something called the resurrection is with us all the time. Yeah. You know, I like to give this testimony. I'm very happy. I love the Lord more than 51 some years. I'm happy about it. I'm very shameful because the constitution of the 51 some years are a history of failure. I'm very, very joyful because in the midst of such a professional beating up, God has a way to continue us on. Do you realize? Nothing works. No university working this way. No human institution working this way. I tell you, strictly speaking, even not many lovely human family can do it this way. But why in the church life we enjoy things like this? Because the church life is a life in resurrection. This is why we talk about the new man. The new man is full of reality of being raised with Christ. So firstly, how would you enjoy this new man? Taking the resurrected Christ as our person and our life. Or you can say as our life and our person. What is the church life? A life of Christ. What is the church life? A life of divine life. You know the interesting part, if I can say. I see all the young people were standing here. I sing that, I forgot, you know, with my memory now, the song you sing. But then it's very, very attractive, right? And they clap their hand. You feel very happy. And I know that. You won't stand up, right? And you're not that young. You're married. How old are you? And you're the husband. Did you come up also?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Very good. Both of you come up. How old are you?
26.
Oh, you're so good, right? Ready for what? Ready for argument on the way home. Be honest. You never argue, so you must fight. You never fight, so ignore one another. Well, isn't that the same thing as argue, as fight? Only it's a greater torture. Am I right or not? I tell you, brother, the interesting thing is this, you can be defeated, you can get yourself in trouble, but there's a life that is a life of Christ. You know something? You try to ignore your dear wife. I want to warn you. She's so sweet to be ignored. So every time you knock her, you are wrong. And I like to warn you too. He is so good to be ignored. Every time you ignore him, you are more than wrong. But even though you are wrong, there is a life there. You just, for some reason, just feel, should I treat my wife like that? Then the wife said, should I treat my husband like that? I tell you, no matter how you, for some reason, there's a feeling very different with the world. The world, back the table, divorce. We Christians never say divorce. We say what? We say, oh, what a divine life. Operate in my spirit. When the wife consider the husband, he is not fair. He is not proper. He has no understanding of his wife. Sister, that's normal because he's a man. You understand what I say? Then you say, oh, my wife, he doesn't know how to take care of me. She has no understanding how pressured I am. She has no idea how. I tell you, when you were arguing with everything within yourself, there's an operation of life. And when you follow that life, you begin to say, oh, Lord, you won't pray proper now. You will never pray. Lord, judge her. Judge her. Or judge him. Lord Jesus, do something with him. So he has to repent. He's totally wrong this time, for sure. I tell you, Christ not only is your life, but also Christ is a person. When you say, oh, Lord, sorry, sorry. When you say sorry, you know what's happened? There is a voice. The Lord speak now. Go to apologize to your dear wife. And the voice to your wife, go to apologize to your husband. So you walk out from one room, she walk from another room, just at the corner, they hit each other's head. But for some reason, this hitting doesn't get you upset. No longer get you upset. The wife said, honey, I'm coming here to say, I'm sorry. The husband said, no, I am sorry. The wife said, no, 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 I'm more than sorry. The husband said, no, 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 I'm much, much more than sorry. Do you have this experience? You do. This is a church life. Not only with husband and wife, even among brothers, even among sisters. You know, if you want to enjoy the church life, you have to take the resurrected Christ of your life and person. Because of this, first thing you do, seeking the things which are above. All the things of the divine economy produced in the heavenly ministry of Christ. First thing you do, seek what? Seek the things which are above. You know, brother, it's interesting. What is above, you never see. Everything what you see is what? Is on the earth. Am I right? For instance, you come to the hall, it's on the earth. You sit on the chair, it's on the earth. Do you get my point? Everything you do, everything you see is on the earth. And your life cannot get away from on the earth. Your job, Michael, is, come on, measure how many eggs are now. My job is, how big it's getting. You know, brother, yours is success. Mine is terrible. Whatever that is, they are on the earth. Am I right or not? Everything you see, it is on the earth. You go to university, it's on the earth. You live in a good residence, it's on the earth. You buy a nice house, it's on the earth. Even you send your kids, especially some of the Oriental families, you know, because all of a sudden they touch the Western culture. You know what they do? They torture your kids with four kinds of things. And the mother torture herself. Then get the kids over to art, then to learn piano, then to learn Chinese, then to learn karate. Sometimes I look at some of my parents, I say, how come you are so earthly? He said, no, I'm for my kids. Don't say that. You are for yourself. Your kids don't like it. I know what I'm talking about. You like to tell them, here, look at my son. Come on, come on. Oh, he's only 7 years old. You know, he knows how to play violin, a piece of a goat. Oh, you know, how to sing a song, a piece of a goat. Oh, he's an artist, a piece of goat. Eventually, I'm golden, he suffered. Poor child. But why you do that? Because you can see it on the earth. Do you get my point or not? I tell you, in the church life, what you learn. Firstly, the church life never look into anything that is earthly. The church life not only seeks the things which are above, also set the mind on the things above. Seeking is an attitude. Setting is a behavior. Not only in my desire, I seek the heavenly things. I tell you, even in my practice, I set my mind on the heavenly things. I set my mind on God. I set my mind on Christ. I set my mind on God's word. I set my mind on the saints. I set my mind on Lord's blessing to the church. I set my mind on the gospel. I set my mind on the things pertaining to the interest of God. You know, brother, seeking the things which are above, set your mind on the things above. Then what? Appropriating the necessary revelation experience of the believer concerning the church as a mystery of Christ. In other words, don't just talk about it. The mystery of Christ, the church. There's a lot of revelations you must have. There's a lot of experiences you must have. You must appropriate these things. In other words, you must make these things your reality. I don't just speak a terminology. I have a reality of those spiritual things. Now, what are they? Number one, realizing that as fellow heir and fellow members of the body, we are fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Who are we in the church life? Number one, in the church life, we are fellow heir. Oh, Maybe I can give you this illustration. Come on, Brother Gilbert. Gilbert, you have a lot of money.
I don't think so.
And I have a lot of money. But what I have has nothing to do with you. What you have has nothing to do with me. I cannot tell Gilbert, Gilbert, give whatever you have to me because we are fellow heir. Who is going to say it? Ben is your son, is it? Ben, where's Ben?
He's serving tonight.
You see?
He'll be here in the morning again.
But anyway, his son would say, we are fellow heir. In other words, what is the church? In the church life, thank you. In the church life, the brothers and sisters together inherit this precious triune God. Therefore, we are fellow heir. That also shows what? What is a new man, the church life? The new man, the church life, is a sweet household. Do you get my point there? We are fellow heirs. We are in the same family. We are in the same household. More than same family, we also are fellow members of the body. That means we share the same life, and we bear the same testimony. You know, this is very, very precious. You and I are fellow members of one body. Brother, I assure you, and I assure you, two young brothers, if you, brother, see me not knowing I'm a Christian in the bus station, in the airport, on the street, you will totally ignore this old Chinaman. Am I right?
Yeah.
Come on, brother. Come on. Come on, brother. The peculiar part is you begin to like me. Come on. Do you like me?
Yes.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Do you love me?
Yes.
That's a peculiar. Oh, I got transfigured. I become American. And my nose become taller. My eyes become deeper and bigger. No. It's just because we share the same life.
Amen.
We bear the same testimony.
Amen.
You don't have to make an effort. When you see a brother, when you're a sister in the Lord, we are fellow heir, we are fellow members of the body.
Amen.
And more than that, brother, thank you all, more than that, what is most precious? We are the fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus. Here, I'd like to spend a little time. This is a big stuff. Why? Our Lord is a Lord of promise. So you have to ask, what are the promises for us to enjoy, to partake? We are fellow partakers of the promise. What are they? Number one, God says, concerning blessing, I will bless you. What he promised? He promised that he would bless you. Do you get my point? Then, secondly, when I bless you, concerning the seed, your seed, that I will make your seed multiply. So God desires, in God's blessing, God desires what? God desires man. Then what? Then all the land you walked, I will give it to you. Do you get the point? This is a promise God has given to Abraham. I will bless you with the seeds and also with land. Do you realize? In the whole universe, there's only three things counts. In this blessing, you can't even believe it, right? Number one, the blessings relate to blesser, who is God himself. What God wants? God desires to gain man. For what? For the land. Do you realize that? You know why Satan becomes successful in many ways, even to many Christians? Satan either caused many Christians to love God, or caused many Christians to love man, or caused many Christians only to love land. But God's economy is, here I am. I work with a man to gain the land. Oh, remember when God created Adam? I will make man. That's blessing. In my image, in our image, after our likeness, right? Let them have dominion over the land. In the beginning, it was so. Man failed. Man depart from Garden of Eden. So God gained Abraham and promised him to what? To be a man that can gain land. Then he never made it, right? And even Jacob didn't make it. So they went to Egypt. Then in Egypt, after 400 years, praise the Lord, what happened? About 2 million of them come back from Egypt to do what? To gain the land. Do you realize the history? God firstly, in his economy, he has a desire for man, then for the land. He worked with Adam, and he failed. He worked with Abraham, he get it started. But until the Israelites get into the good land of Canaan, God is not happy. You know, praise the Lord today, huh? Today, our God will say, I will cause you to be a partaker of the promise. That is what I promise. What I like you to partake. Number one, I want to gain you. God's promise is with man. Now, I tell you, brother, let me get some young brother. Come on, come on, you. Come on, come on, you. Come on, you. Brother, say I'm a man. Come on, three of you. Say I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Look, just like saying I'm a cat. Say I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Right, that's a little bit of man. Say I'm a man.
I'm a man.
Yeah. Well, there's a declaration, but there's no joyfulness. You should be so happy that you are a man. Who are you?
I'm a man.
Ah, this is right. Who are you?
I'm a man.
Who are you?
I'm a man.
Hallelujah. Who are we?
We are men.
This is a promise. You say, well, we don't need that. I'm already a man. No, no, no. You are not a real man. You were a deformed man. Now you got saved. After you got saved, God wants you to be a real man, filled with the divine attributes to express the human virtues. And this man on this earth to gain the land. Oh, let me ask you, do you have a land?
Yes.
Where?
Toronto.
Toronto. Do you have a land?
I'm in between lands right now.
He's in the air. Air is where Satan lives. So if you don't have a land, you become a friend of Satan. So, but eventually, where will be your land?
Somewhere in Michigan.
That's very good. That's very good. Somewhere in Michigan. I know where I'm going. I want to get the land. Do you have a piece of land?
Urbana. Urbana.
How come you're not in Chicago?
I'm
okay. Urbana. Hallelujah. I have a land in Urbana. You know, brother, God's desire is that we all must have a land. This is God's promise. God's promise mainly geared with Abraham. In Abraham, to Abraham, God said, concerning blessing, I will bless you. Then what? I will multiply your seeds. As what? As the sand in the whatever, beach, seashore, whatever. Then he said, Abraham, rise up, walk through the land. Wherever you walked, your footstep tracked. That land I will be given to you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you have Christ?
Yes.
Are you a man?
Amen.
Do you have a land?
Amen.
Do you have Christ?
Amen.
Are you a man?
Amen.
Do you have land?
Amen. I will have a land.
Okay. Do you have Christ?
Amen.
Are you a man?
Amen.
Do you have a land?
Amen.
These are fellow partaker of promise.
Amen.
Do you get it or not? And brother, I want to say this. Thank you all. In the Old Testament, the land is a good land of Canaan. Am I right? That is today that little strip. That little strip today is the center of world problems. Am I right? But with New Testament saints, with us, what is the land? The localities. Every locality become a land. I'm happy if I ask you, where are you from? Oh, I'm from a Pentecostal church. Did you find there's no land? Where are you from? I'm from a Baptist church. I don't see right or wrong. That's not my point. My point, you know, there's no land. Where are you from? I am from, you two will say, we are from Des Moines. Des Moines. You two will say, we are from
Toledo.
Wow, land. Amen. And people may look at you and say, what city is that? You know, I just heard the news. My daughter told me. The Cleveland News reported among all the major cities in the United States, the poorest one is Cleveland. Have you heard that news? The poorest one. I think, 35%, or how many percent are under in poverty? In other words, without a job or on welfare. That is the poorest city in the United States. When in the airplane, those people ask me, where are you from? I say, Cleveland. He looked at me and said, are you joking? Because he couldn't believe a bright person like me can be from Cleveland. So I told him, I am not joking. I'm from Cleveland. I serve the Lord in Cleveland. And there's a church in Cleveland. Yeah. Oh, land. Young sister, do you have God? Are you a man? Yeah, man, sister, it's the same, right? Do you have a land? Where? Oh, Chicago. How good that is. You know, brother, when God said we all are partakers of a promise, everyone have to realize we are not airy. We have God. Bless him. We become a man according to God's heart, a God man. Then what? We have a land for us to substantiate the blessing the Lord desires to give us. And more than that, secondly, realizing that the spiritual circumcision of Christ, in other words, when he died on the cross, then the circumcision, physical, whatever, that is over, right? The spiritual reality, we have put off the body of the flesh in baptism. When we died, we are circumcised. What does that mean? When we died, we're cut off from anything that is of the world. Circumcision means cut off. Cut off what? Cut off from anything that is of flesh. You say, then the house is not flesh. Don't say that. Do you know, many people look at a house. Maybe I can give you a real story. Of course, this brother's too good. You have to understand he's really a good brother. But he drove by a place, he see a place for sale, and he walk in, and they say $1.5 million. He said, I'll buy it. He bought it. He showed me, wow, it's beautiful. Not a beautiful house, beautiful land, beautiful yard. Then he went to the city, tried to build a little something for his mother. See, look at it, says, listen, you already have 2 lots. Do you know he really paid $1.5 million for that land? So all of a sudden he made $1.5 million. Because of 2 lots. You have 2 lots. You don't need to get a special permission. You just build. And he said, why don't you build a big one? And just a small thing. He said, that's just for my mother herself. Do you get my point? If I build a big, she's not comfortable. Do you get my point, huh? I tell you, brother, she loves her place. He loves his place. He told me, he said, even when I'm far away in the other country, I want to fly home to come to my nice bedroom. Praise the Lord for this. But to him, Lord has blessed him with his business. It's very normal. But to us, every time drive back, actually, one of a young girl take a taxi to his home because he know the daughter. The taxi driver told the guest, you know, the young girl says, you know, the owner of the house, this house worth $1.5 million. How does he know? I don't know. Possible. All the house in that neighborhood worth $1.5 million. You know, brother, many times we look at the house, wow, 4 bedrooms, wow, even have a jacuzzi, the basement can be a good gym. You know what I mean? Exercise room. Look, it's saturated, facing the south, backing the north. You know, that's Chinese way, because it's most comfortable. The sun doesn't bother you. You know, sun, right? You know, you face east, in the morning, it doesn't bother you. If you face west, in the evening, it doesn't bother you. When you have a house, 坐北朝南, facing the south, and back is north, that house usually is most comfortable. You know what you need? Circumcised. Because your old man operates very hard at this time. Try your best to be greedy. That's no good at all. I tell you, brother, realizing that Christ, through his death, already accomplished everything. So today, our body of the flesh, through the baptism, is circumcised. The world can no longer attract those who are in the church life. Then point three, realizing that we have been buried together and raised together with Christ through the faith. Which is a faith? What is a faith? The faith God has given to us through the faith of the operation of God. In other words, God gives you the faith. Through the faith, then what? Who raised him from the dead. There is such a faith. Realizing that, I died. I like it. We have been buried together. Not only died, but buried. Sometimes a dead person opens the eyes. I know that. You know, someone died. But before their last breath or something, they open their eyes because they do not want to depart. Chinese have a saying, if a person die, their whole family is not with them. They don't close their eyes. They're waiting to see someone. And we died, but for some reason we refuse to close our eyes. We see all the beautiful things of the world. Are you dying? Yes, I'm dying. I'm crucified with Christ. What are you looking at? Look how beautiful is that car. That's a peculiar corpse running around. Am I right? So you got to know you died. And not only that, you buried. Even you want to see, you cannot see it anymore because you get buried. Once you are buried with him, you also raised together with Christ through the faith he gave to you. What is the faith? The faith of resurrection. Do you realize something interesting? Young man, what is your profession? We finished drywall. Do you like it? Huh? I like it. You know, I hate the burden. Of course, I love the sins. You do not know how much I admire. Some brother just how do you say that? Do you say drywall or hand drywall? Whatever. I like to see some brother just do something to me so simple and every day the same thing. You know, brother, you want me to tell you my sufferings? You know, I was so occupied with everything. So last week I told the brother we got to write on the outline. Then we got to Colossians. Oh, they are profound. So all of a sudden I get lost. What should I do? So much in there. Then I began to work on the outline. Poor brothers began to work on the definition of different words. Then we tried to work. Eventually, I just had a feeling, Lord, this is too much. So I told different brothers, I said, brothers, do you think you should give this conference? And yeah, it's interesting part is, everybody says, we feel you should give it. Not one person said amen. No mercy. I told the brother, I said, brother, I am 70. No break. You know, anybody needs work 7 days, have 1 day break, right? No break. Actually, for about 50 years, I don't know what is break. You every day. The interesting part is I look fine. Am I right or not? Before I came back, my brother called me. Says, I'm in Los Angeles. Oh, he's from Atlanta. Could I have a lunch with you? I said, of course, you're my brother, right? And I meet him in the restaurant. I walk in, he saw me, he says, oh, brother, you look fine. You know why I look fine? Resurrection. There's something called a resurrection. You know, before this message, I tell the Lord, Lord, I gave 3 already. Must I do the last 2? Do you get my point or not? Then I told the Lord, Lord, all my muscles are painful, which is true. So I soaked myself in hot water, you know, for a while to see if I can get me relaxed a little. Lord, all my muscles painful. And Lord, I got a headache. I really got a headache. Not severe, not grand, just a little something bothers you. Cause you to know you have a brain working there. And Lord, but you know something interesting? Once you touch the Lord, you touch Christ, you enjoy Christ, something called resurrection, sir. Amen. Swallowed up all the limitations. So here, realizing that we've been buried, so we have nothing to do with the world, and we now, together in the face of Christ, this very face, has resurrected Christ. And more than that, realize that we have been made alive together with Christ and forgiven of all our offenses. Brother, how good it is. We were made alive and we are forgiven. If we're only made alive and not forgiven, it'd be too heavy. If we're only forgiven, not made alive, we'll be too dead. We are no longer heavy, no longer dead, because we're made alive and all our sins are forgiven. Praise the Lord for this. More than that, we are able to what? Able to hold Christ as the head. We're able to grow with the growth of God in the body. So, what's your name?
Justin.
You forgive me, huh? Justin. What are you doing in the body life? Yeah, I'm growing with the growth of God. What are you doing? Praise the Lord. You know, I wish these 3 days you grow a little bit. You are. Oh, that's very good. Then I tell you, brother, I hope next conference, please come. Sit in the front. If I forget you, just say, remember that I'm the one born again twice. I'll remember that because that's very impressive. Then, am I right? It's easy for you to remember. Then you have to say, brother, let me tell you, I growed. Amen. Grow with the growth of God. In other words, that's very God growing you. How to do this? Point A. Enjoy all the what that Christ has accomplished on the cross. No problem. Enjoy God's victory over Satan in the cross. Then what? Stripping off the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame. So, is Satan here? Yeah. I remember, I don't know if I should give you a testament because there was a time when I was very, very young. I couldn't close my eyes. Every time I closed my eyes, all kind of scary things coming in. Eventually, every night I dare not close my eyes. I open my eye and pray, Lord Jesus, help me. But every night, eventually, I can't take it anymore. One night I begin to remember, what's wrong with me? The Lord is victor over this little Satan. Now I love the Lord. He's jealous. That's why he tried to interrupt me, caused me not able to love him. So I just tell Satan, Satan, I'm resting in the Savior. Amen. And Satan, get away from here. Amen. You know what's happened? Since that night, he never come back again. God is God. That he strip off, take away everything Satan has, and then what? Put them to open shame. Tell Satan, Satan, you have lost your power. And more than that, huh? Then approaching Christ as a body of the shadow of the things to come. What are these? For instance, Chinese are waiting for full moon festival. Chinese have three big festivals. One is called Lunar New Year is one festival. Second one is what? Sticky Rice Festival. And third one is a Full Moon Festival. Chinese are waiting for this, you know, because every time when the festival comes, then you have a fresh enjoyment. Then you have what? You have a new beginning. You know, with Jews, the same. They keep the Sabbath. That is one. Then they keep the festivals. You know, for instance, they go, what? The festival of Tabernacle. Am I right? The festival of what? Passover. You know, they have these festivals. Then, you know, then Paul told the brothers, you have to realize, whether it's religious festival, whether it's a secular festival, all the festivals, their reality is Christ. If you want to enjoy mooncake, that is full moon festival, we eat mooncake. You want to enjoy mooncake, enjoy Christ. If you want to eat sticky rice, eat Christ. If you want to have a new beginning at the new year, take Christ as a beginning today as your new year. Amen. He's the body of all these shadows. Christ is real Sabbath. Christ is real festival. Christ is real new year. Christ is real new moon. Christ is everything to meet all our need. But what? But we need to enjoy Him. Enjoy Christ as the reality of all these things. And more than that, being freed from, that is related to our life. In living, in your living, realize Christ is the body of all the things to come. Do you get my point? Are you waiting for Christ mess you up? Called Christmas. Christmas actually is Christ mess, right? Christ mess everybody up, because not really, he doesn't do it. People use his name, mess up everybody. Am I right or not? But you realize, don't condemn them. Oh, you have Christmas and Christ mess you up. Don't say that. But tell him, do you know, the living Lord Jesus is a real Christmas. People are waiting for New Year. The Lord Jesus is a real New Year. People are waiting for eggs on the Easter time. Tell them, Lord Jesus is a real egg and colored with all kinds of colors for your enjoyment. The Lord is marvelous. He's a body of all the shadows. Then more than that, then relate to religion. There are 3 points. Number one, that we are freed from handwriting of ordinances. You know, brother, ordinances means you must do this, you must not do this. This is called ordinances. Handwriting of ordinances with what? With its rules. Now, Christian, Jewish, in their religion, they have their ordinances. In all kind of religion, they have their ordinances. Brother, it is easy for us to be caught with a religion. That is, what is that? That means, Mike, you must do this. In your church life, you got to do this. And in a certain church life, you must practice, exercise in a certain way. Let me ask you, is ordinance right or wrong? I tell you, the ordinance is right. But when these ordinances become a controlling element, replace Christ, they become a problem. Do you get my point or not? We Christians are blessed people. We can say, I have the Lord, I enjoy the Lord, I take in the Lord, Christ is everything to me. I tell you, brother, then what? You are free from the ordinances, the handwriting of ordinances. You are free from all kinds of religious practices. One day, one saint, I was inspired by, this is a real story, inspired by Nigel Shear. One dear one come to church meeting, have no idea what kind of Bible we use. So he brought with him a King James Version. So we all read the verses, and he read his verse according to King James Version, and he's very concerned how come all our Bibles are wrong, different with his. Then we are very concerned, how come you do not read Recovery Version? Brother, let me tell you, Recovery Version is very, very good. And let me tell you, if you want to really read and research the Bible, the footnotes in Recovery Version is very, very good. So if you ask me, brother, what version? You have to say, I advise you to read Recovery Version. When I was young, I like to ask Brother Lee. Brother Lee, King James Version good is always very good. Darby's good, oh, very good. American Standard's good, oh, very good. Then I say this and that. Eventually he says, Titus, they all are good. Do you get my point or not? Yes, well, he realized, I tried to be a Bible student, therefore I tried to get all kinds of Bibles, and that desire is very precious, but I like to get myself into an ordinance. If Brother Lee that day says, oh, Brother Titus, at that time, no Recovery Version yet, right, would say, oh, the best among all the Bible, Darby is the best. I think my lifelong will be a Darby student. I'm happy. He's so wise. He's so wise when I ask him, oh, brother, King James good, oh, good. And Darby's good, oh, good. I wish he could say someone that's not good so I don't have to take care of him. But everything to him is good. King James good, good. American good, good. New American Standard is good, good. Schofield, that's Darby, that's good. Everything's good. Why? Brother Lee was seemingly telling me, even though he didn't, he says, you stupid, how come you like to live in the handwriting of ordinances? You got to do this to be proper before the Lord. That is called handwriting of ordinances. Now, praise the Lord. Here he says that we are freed from the handwriting of ordinances. And more than that, he says we are not defrauded in self-chosen lowliness and the worship of angels. In other words, huh? It's interesting. Come on. How old are you? 30? 28? 30-something? Whatever.
47.
What are you talking about? How old are you?
47.
He's 47. Well, even you're 47, I'm close to 74, so still. Still, I'm much older. Now, here, you come to this point now. So, how long have you been saved?
Oh, 3 years.
3 years. How many times you read the Bible?
Every day.
How many times? Not every day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It doesn't matter. Just say something.
Hundreds of times.
No, don't lie. Say something that's real.
Oh, through the Bible.
Yeah.
Maybe once or twice. Once.
Brother. Have you ever given a message?
No.
Have you ever write an outline?
No.
Have you ever helped many brother grow? Maybe a little.
Maybe a little.
Oh. Brother. Here's a brother stand by you. Praise the Lord. By Lord's mercy. I say by Lord's mercy. Because I'm nothing. By Lord's mercy. I read the Bible, New Testament, hundreds of times. But Lord's mercy. By Lord's mercy that I gave many conferences. And by Lord's mercy, I raise up churches. By Lord's mercy. It's all by Lord's mercy, but the glory all come to me. Not so long after I just said a few guys Lord's mercy, he becomes shorter. By Lord's mercy, shorter. By Lord's mercy, shorter. By Lord's mercy, shorter. By Lord's mercy, shorter. By Lord's, you know, eventually what he say? Eventually he says, brother, would you please pray for me? I said, can't you also pray? No, no, no. The Lord listened to you more and not to me. You understand what I'm talking about? Even he will say, brother, I tell you that. You must come to our meetings. Because the Lord bless you more, not me. Even he will say, oh, I believe God is much more closer to you than to me. Do you realize, what is that? That is the defrauding. For some reason, you no longer honor yourself. You know, any regime, any leader, when they try to control the secrets, they abuse you. Do you understand what I'm talking about? When in mainland China, that great Mao, once I say Chairman Mao, brother, he told me, he said, don't call me Chairman Mao. Then I don't know how to call him. But anyway, Mao, he makes sure 10 of the 100 million people, not one have self-respect. Only he has. But the Bible is, praise the Lord, brother. So when I ask you, how many times you read the Bible? Maybe once. Maybe. Then I says, brother, I read about 100 times. What would you say?
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, praise the Lord for you. Hallelujah, I'm happy. Don't say that I'm junior. Get my point or not? Oh, brother, I got many saved. What do you say?
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord for you. Hallelujah. Don't say I can't. Do you get my point or not? Oh, do you know that I give messages?
Praise the Lord.
What do you say?
Praise
the Lord. Don't say that. I'll never have that. All this is make yourself small. In the church life, brother, you may hear the word that you need to be trained, you need to be trained, which is true. You really need to be trained. But realize that you should not abase yourself. You should not be proud. Neither should you be abased. Here he says, you have to not be defrauded. Your defraud will make you the self-chosen lowliness. In my presence, don't you feel you're low? You better say yes, otherwise I'm disappointed. Then you better say no, otherwise I'm disappointed too. So yes or no? You better say both. You know why? When I say, in my presence, don't you feel you are a little bit short? You say yes. Which in a way is right, because you're younger, right? On the other hand, but you feel they're short to the point your God is bigger compared with my God, there's something wrong. Your Christ is more alive compared with my Christ, there's something wrong. You can be responsible to Christ, just like I also can be responsible to Christ. You answer to Christ, I also answer to Christ. Christ is your Lord, Christ is also my Lord. Christ is your Savior, Christ is also my Savior. Don't go to a point we got to worship angel. You know, that's why Catholic was there. Take me in the good way if you're a Catholic. You must pray through a father. Or you must pray through Mary. Because God is so high. That is exactly what the Bible says here. But remember, this psychology can easily be in the church life. We can easily feel, I don't have much. I need more. More, let's go on more, huh? Then what? Not being carried off as spoil through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of man, according to the element of the world, and not according to Christ. It's interesting, huh? What is this? In the church life, huh? Number one, he said, remember, Christ is the body of all the things. Number two, handwriting of ordinance, it may be good, but don't insist on that. Number three, don't look down at yourself. Number four says, the most crucial thing is what? Is you will be treated as a spoil. Why you will be treated as a spoil? Because your ideology occupies you. This is why, look, if I read this to you, he said, not being carried off as spoil, through philosophy and empty deceit. What are the philosophy, empty deceit? According to tradition of man, according to element of the world, and not according to Christ. This is called the Gnostic, a kind of belief that become a kind of ideology. And that ideology is a mixture of something of Jewish religion and something of Greek philosophy, even something Oriental. All come together, occupy the person. I tell you, the hardest thing for you to practice in the church life, to overcome, hard thing to overcome when you practice church life, is that your own ideology. Do you know what I'm talking about? For some reason, everyone can become a spoil, can be captured by a certain kind of ideology. And the brothers fight because of their ideology. And the church cannot get along with one another because of their ideology. What is ideology? The things make you think it is right. Do you get my point or not? You know, Justin, right? You're just a young man. Come on. You're just a young man. Very, very young man. How old are you? 22. Not that young. But anyway, still a young man. 22-year-old. Do you realize what is the hardest part for the church in Toronto to work with him? What is the hardest thing for him to break through so he can grow his ideology? Am I right or not?
Yes.
If I come, what Bible do you like? Just be honest.
I like the NIV.
You don't like Recovery Version?
I like it too.
But you like NIV?
I prefer it.
New International
Version.
You like that one? Are you sure?
Yep.
Do you have a clear mind at this moment? Have you ever really studied it?
Which?
NIV. Do you know how many places they can be inaccurate?
Yeah.
Then you still like it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, anything that says new, don't like it. Because they are modern. New Testament is different. Let me tell you, I mean that. Listen now, anything that is new, King James Version, New King James Version, American Standard, New American Standard, right? International Version, No International Version. Brother, anything that is new, all of a sudden I feel, brother, it's a secret, huh? Don't let others know. Do you think that brother still have any hope? I mean, he's stupid to the point. He loves NIV. What?
It's a good Bible.
Come on. Come on. I mean, we're all Jesus lovers, right? Don't we? And we all love the church, don't we? All of a sudden, all those who love Recovery Version, raise up your hand. You see, we outpower you. Brother, did you realize how serious is a matter of ideology? I know it. It is right. This is right. I'm pretty sure. I have some revelation from the Lord that this is right. And you didn't realize, you become a spoil. You may become a spoil if you like NIV. I may become a spoil if I like King James. You insist on your NIV. I insist on my King James. Brother, in the church life, remember, when you put on the new man, you got to drop the ideologies.
Amen.
I love him.
Amen.
Not because we read the same version.
Amen.
Because of him. And I love these brothers, not because we use the same version of the Bible, but because he's a brother in the Lord.
Amen.
How good that is. Among us, we don't make any ideology, any issue. Rather, we say, you are a brother, I love you.
Amen.
And you are a brother in the church life, I love you.
Amen.
And we all love the Lord, I love you. So when we read the Bible, that'll be interesting now. I read my recovery version. He read his New International. What do you usually use?
NIV.
Are you sure?
I have recovery now. But before
praise the Lord. He's on my side, finally. Poor NIV, you are left alone. Now, you see, formerly you got two votes. Now you only got one, and we two vote you out. Brother. Oh, Lord Jesus, a real NIV. And writing his Bible case. That is a sin. Oh, you think I'm joking? Some brothers find you read NIV. He really thinks it's sinful. That's real. I don't like to say right or wrong. You say, oh, if I read NIV, I'm sinful. Then you read, you are just as sinful. Don't do that. Then you are really sinful. Any brother can be occupied with his ideology. You cannot. Amen. As you are not. So everything's happy with you. When he says, I read NIV, hallelujah. Amen. When he said, I read what? NIV 2, hallelujah. Amen. When I read recovery version, hallelujah. Can you brother say, hallelujah. Because there's no issue. And then we begin to consider, brother, there's interesting truths. Do you believe first, then God saved? You got saved first, then you believe.
What do you believe?
I believe. I don't know. You got saved first, then believe? Or you believe first, then God saved? Here's a man. God saved first, and then believe. Are you? You're joking or you really mean that?
I mean that.
You mean that? Mm-hmm. I got saved first, then I believe.
Amen.
So we got two now. You can say first or you believe first?
I'll choose the other one.
You'll choose what?
I believe, then I got saved.
Then how can you believe?
It's very spiritual.
I tell you, let me ask him a question now. You are second generation?
Yes.
Grew up in children meeting,
yes.
Hear the story all the time,
yes.
And you never think about the belief or not belief. Mm-hmm. But one day you have a desire, I need to believe.
Right.
Isn't that the moment you got saved already? Mm-hmm. Then why you believe? Do you get my point or not? Many of us hear the gospel many times, right? But it doesn't have nothing to do with us. One day, for some reason, we feel we need to hear the gospel. We feel we need to believe in the Lord. Let me ask you, you got saved first, then you believe? Or manifest through your believing? Or you believe first, so finally you got saved? Huh? So, I'm going to start a local church. The member got to be saved first, then believe. Because that's our experience, right?
Hallelujah.
So when we elder take the lead, everyone have to ask them a question. You say first or believe first? If you say say first, welcome to be a member. Believe first, get out of here. You know what is that? Ideology. Oh, brother, even when you see someone, ideology can control your person and cause you to be a spoil. Spoil means what? Useless. You become useless. Because of your ideology. Satan will do his best to give everyone some ideologies. And Christ says, let no one, what, defraud, no. And not, let one keep you as a spoil or something. Let no one, what, carry off as spoil through what? Through ideology. You know, brother, in the church life, don't ask stupid questions. Both questions are very stupid. What version do you use? That's stupid. Another question, you say first and believe, and believe say, and the wise people say, what difference does that make? Whatever that is, I'm saved. Hallelujah. And I believe. Amen.
Amen.
That question must be from hell. Stupid. Because divide the body. Then you have morning watch in the morning or in the evening. Oh, don't think I'm joking. And the brothers is always in the evening. because I work at night. So every day after I finish my job, I get home at 6 o'clock in the morning, I sleep. When I get up, I have my morning watch in the evening. Is there anything wrong? No, morning watch at 4 o'clock. We have morning watch 6:30, amen. Brother, we are not 6:30 church. Do you get my point or not? In the church life, there should be no... Oh, I better go fast. Thank you, brothers. Then point G. Being richly supplied and knit together by means of joints and sinew. In other words, in the church life, enjoy those brothers who have ministries. Those brothers who have ministries are joints or sinew, the ministers of the New Testament ministry. Then secondly, put on the new man, experiencing Christ as a person of the divine mystical realm who is all in all. Number one, by putting on all the sins. Put on the new man basically means put on all the sins. Now let me ask you a question. What does put on mean? What does put on mean? Put on means limitation. Put on means testimony. For instance, Americans are a wise person. They're close advanced to an extent they only care for comfortableness. And when I speak, I have to put on the white shirt, which is a mark of discomfort, plus a tie, which is double discomfort. And by Lord's mercy, I don't have to be warm up with a jacket. That'll be triple discomfort. Then you say, wow, Titus, oh, since they make you so discomfortable, tomorrow morning come with a leisure clothes. So I will come up. I believe you all keep on looking at my clothes. What is that? I got to put on something which testify who I am and which matches my operation. Brother, what you put on is who you really are. So now you have to put on. Put on what? Put on the new man actually mean put on all the sins. You know, brother, a few days ago, maybe 1 week ago, I opened one drawer, I found a letter written by Witness Lee to me. Actually, not to me, to the laboring brother. You know, there's talk, you know, you should never labor, and there's untraining. But Brother Lee did write us a letter when there is a training going on. Now, Brother Lee's letter, I read it to you in this way. To the 9 months labor, brothers and sisters, I say he's really putting us on, right? Dear brothers and sisters, thank you for your letter dated 20th October, what year? 1988. The surprising impression I received from you at the Labor Day, that's today, Labor Day conference in Cleveland, still remain with me because that meeting was so good, remember? That meeting was so prevailing. They still remain with me. Now your letter remind me of it and strengthen it because he was surprised why the church did that well. Then he saw the letter we wrote. He says, now your letter confirmed and strengthened. I'm so happy and encouraged by your schedule of your spiritual seeking. If the Lord grace keeps you in this schedule for a few years, that's why 10 months labor is not enough. Brother Lee says for a few years. If you want to be one with Brother Lee, do a few years. Amen. Then that is ideology. Amen. Do you get it or not? But anyway, he did say this. If you want to keep the schedule for a few years, listen to this. You will surely have a rich harvest in the divine truth and life, number one. Number two, which will equip you and furnish you with his untraceable riches for your coming service in his New Testament economy. How strong he is in encouraging us, right? I do like to pray for you all, that you may be the living witness for his recovery as the next generation. May the Lord so consummate it, and may you all pray for this. I treasure all your signatures, and I will keep them as a souvenir. How human this is. How human this is. You know, I got this letter, I read it. I said, how stupid I am. This is such a nice letter. How come I keep on forgetting about it? Isn't that encouraging? Very good, right? Every part he says, what you're doing is right, and your church life is right. You know, brothers, of course, at the same time, I begin to consider, he's at the age close to 90. Actually, at that time, he talked with me. He said, Brother Titus, how I wish I was 80. He's so tired, very little strength already. How I wish I was 80. If I were 80, he said, how I wish if I were 80. You know, brother, at that old age, we young people, not me, me and some young people, write him a letter, tell him we are having the laboring we have, 10 months labor, and this or 9 months labor, this is what we are doing, this how we're pursuing. And he was so happy, write us such a letter as response. What is that? Put on all the brothers. Do you get my point or not? He can easily give me a phone call, right? Brother Titus, I got your letter. You're doing fine. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm too old. Bye. Oh, he can write a letter. Receive your letter with joyfulness. I encourage you to go on. Amen. Brother, he spent time on this. Such a good letter. As our encouragement. Why? He put on all the saints. So, brother, when someone begin to tell you again, you're doing something, brother. No. This letter shows how brotherly is for our laboring, and he's for the interest of the Lord and not anything else. You know, brother, more than that, I put on all the saints because there can be nothing, nobody else. Then secondly, put on all long sufferings. Where are you from, brother?
Lockport, New York.
New York?
Near Buffalo.
Okay, so you're from Buffalo. Oh, you have a good brother, Bill Osborne. Do you know him? You don't know Bill Osborne?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know him, right? His job is to get you to suffer. And your job is to get him to suffer. You come to enjoy the church life. But here Paul says, put on long sufferings. Do you know, brother? Simple, genuine, lovely as you are. If you will become spiritual, how many brothers have to suffer? And how many brothers will cause you to suffer? Don't say that. Oh, we're in the church life. Hallelujah. Everything is marvelous. Brother, that's not English. In the church life, what is the church life? The church life practically is suffering life. Then having the inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, as well as forgiveness. How do I practice church life with you, brother, you sister? How do I practice church life with you, brothers and sisters? Brother, let me tell you, huh? I practice with you, brothers and sisters, a suffering life. Every time you are afraid of seeing me, because you see me, I'm going to ask you, oh, how are you, brother? You don't know how to answer. I'm afraid of seeing you, because when I see you, I say, still didn't grow that much. Of course, I hope that's not true. Do you get my point or not? And for how long? The first companion I have in this room is Jimmy Young, 1964. He picked me up from Greyhound bus station, bring me to University of Pittsburgh. That's where I began to labor. That is 40 years. 40 years. Oh, we should say, hallelujah, oh, sweet 40 years. But we can't, right? He can say, oh, I suffered that Titus for 40 years. And I have to say, oh, I suffered that Brother Young for 40 years. And he has to say, Titus, you suffer from me, that's not as much because I'm a nice guy. And I suffer from you, oh, you are just like a thunder. Do you get my point or not? Then I have to say, no. Even I'm a thunder, but it's only for a moment, but you caused me to suffer for a long session. Then I say, and he will say, no, but you caused me to suffer that, sometimes I just wish I'm not in the church life. Then I will say, oh, brother, sometimes you caused me to suffer. I just wish you can be another brother. Right. But he's still Jimmy.
Right.
40 years later, he's the same Jimmy, a real gentleman, a real faithful Jesus lover,
amen,
a real person giving his whole being to the church.
Amen.
I'm sure that Titus, always burdened, always ready. You know, brother, don't go back. You know, brother, if Lord come back late, we have another how many more years to suffer? Am I right or not? Paul, because Paul says, Titus, I suffer just as much. Well, you say, oh, thank you. You say, how can this be? Didn't we say, oh, blessed church life, oh, sweet church life? Church life is sweet. Just like husband and wife, aren't you sweet? But do you suffer from one another? Don't say no. If you say no, you suffer plus sin. I lie. You know, brother, I'm happy. In the church life, you have to put on the new man. Yet with the new man, you put a long suffering. In the long suffering, what you exercise? Compassion. I love you. Kindness. In other words, I understand. That's kindness. For instance, oh, I goofed. Oh, I understand. I understand. He says, oh, I'm using NIV. I understand. Then you ask a question. Do you want me to use recovery version? Brother, don't ask this kind of stupid question. Do you get my point or not? We don't force people into things. We want people to go before the Lord.
Amen.
Then what? Then lowliness. In other words, brother, come on, look at me. How much I can be proud before you? Relate to Christ, not relate to drywall. Am I right or not? But the Bible says, your brother is for your suffering. And in the process, keep the lowliness. Don't make yourself so high. And the meekness and forgiveness. Then what? Putting on love. In putting on love, you have to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your heart. In other words, there's always an inward peace. I love the brothers. When I love the brothers, I don't go to the extent to my love become the damaging element. Do you get my point or not? One sister, old sister, tell a young brother, says, you should read the Bible. Young brother says, I promise you I'll read the Bible. But he didn't read. So old sister see him again and ask him, brother, did you read the Bible? He says, yeah, I read. He lied, right? Afterward, he went back, he prayed, and no peace. So he says, I better go apologize. Then he's considering this. No, I can't. I love Jesus. I have a future here. If she knows I lied, my future is gone. I can't. But he prayed more. Then he still had the feeling you got to apologize. You know, people are complicated. Then he had the feeling, yes, I should go. You know why? When I go to tell her, I lied. She's going to say, oh, it doesn't matter, you good boy. I appreciate your honesty. Just don't do that anymore. Do you get my point or not? Isn't it normal psychology? So he went to the sister. Sister, sorry, I told you I read the Bible. I didn't. You know what the sister did? She didn't rebuke him. Neither did she say, oh, good boy. Go ahead. She said, I forgive you. That's love. There's nothing damaging the young ones. There's a peace, arbitrary. You know what I mean? In my heart, I know when I do this, the sins will be profited. You know, brother, let the peace arbitrate in your heart. Then, firstly, you know you're in the body. Second, you have the word. Thirdly, you function in the church meetings. And fourthly, do everything in the name of the Lord. This life will come to Roman numeral 3. Can we read it together? Knowing that we will be manifested with Christ in glory. Eventually, this church life will bring us to glory.
Amen.
May Lord have mercy.